Hello, welcome to the big show. Packed house tonight, live from the van on the drive. I've had a screaming hissy fit at Amazon for a Kärcher pressure washer that's not working. And then I came to start the van up tonight so that I could do the show and it wasn't working because the electrician had put a 3-amp fuse in the wall socket, the isolator switch, and I'd blown it with the Kärcher pressure washer.
Oops.
So, sorry, Amazon. My fault. Joining me, fantastic bunch tonight. Loads of people. Starting us off, Jeffrey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And I love there's so many people here. I feel like it's a party.
Excellent, mate. It's good. Thank you for taking on the Mac show last week.
Oh, sure thing.
Superb. I haven't received it yet, though.
So. Oh, it's there.
No, I haven't had an email. Yeah. That says
I got an email this morning saying you hadn't downloaded it yet.
No, I haven't seen it, so that's my fault.
No, it's definitely there. I saw it. I downloaded it.
How have you done? You don't. When did you get my?
No, I haven't done. Oh, I saw the email. No,
yes. See, right. Okay, it's my fault then.
Let's blame it on Mueller.
Mueller, yeah. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've had
still not tidy that room.
Quiet
then.
Few days. No. Spare room. It's where the computers are.
And it's a shame that chair's not a little bit bigger. So it covers the background. There we go. Next to him, it's Rich. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm in isolation and I'm bored shitless. I am utterly bored. Yesterday, I coped up till yesterday. And then today I woke up and Sharon's like, what are you going to do today? Drink. Nothing.
Good plan.
Yeah, I've been drinking since 2 and I'm still sober. That's how bad it is.
Oh.
How did that work?
Drink.
I'm in the mobile Back. Operations center, but the keys are in the house. I've only got the house keys here, so I can't go anywhere and blood can't get me if they stop by, so stuff them. I've had better weeks. I've had worse weeks, mine as well, so. you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Is it sunny in God's country?
It's warm here. It's still close and all of that. I've just had one of those weeks where nothing happened. I have, like, what am I up to? Nothing, really. Same stuff as always.
Same here, mate. I know exactly how you feel. Next in, Patrice.
Yeah, I'm here too. I'm doing well.
Good, it's excellent.
I mean, I'm the opposite of Rich, kind of, because this week has been crazy. I mean, today I had meetings from 9 straight through till 7 p.m.
Wow.
Like, lunch break in between, I had like 45 minutes, that was it.
That's what the people who you didn't organize those meetings are taking.
No, like 90% of them were not mine.
All you got to do is look down the list of organizers of meetings, mm-hmm. and you're seeing a person that has no friends. It's that simple. No, if you don't have a friend, organize a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Then I don't. I do organize a lot of meetings. It's kind of part of my job. So I don't have friends. Okay. No, it's fine.
Okay, that backfired on me a little.
No, it's okay. No, but it's like, I mean, there are a lot of changes at work right now happening. Some really exciting stuff. So, yeah, a lot to do.
Good. Next to you, it's Ian.
Yes.
I forgot your name for a second, dude. I won't say TOA, BOA, but.
No. Ian, I'm here. Long week of many people that have not turned up and not done the things we asked them to do before we connected them to do the work we're meant to do. Most of it's due to resellers all being bloody useless.
Okay.
Utter waste of space. The customer's fine. The customer just hadn't been given the information. So I turn up, the reseller said, we've given the reseller prereqs work to do, and they get you kind of speech. And I go, all right, so you've done those things we asked, yeah? No. What things, Ian? It's been like it all week. I mean, the resellers, all they want to do is to go, can you guys go and do this work for this customer? Thank you, and we'll take our cut. And they don't actually want to do any work in between that involves them passing on documents or organizing things. That's the fun of being in the channel, because we're a channel partner. So we have a reseller that passes our work on to the customer. It's just...
And the channel's got nothing to do with the channel that goes between us and Europe?
No, not at all.
Oh, not that channel. Right.
IT computing channel.
Kind of.
The computing channel. The bit where you sit between business owners, B2B nonsense and all that. But yes.
Okay. And last but by no means least, making a welcome return is Howard.
Hello.
How you doing, Mrs.?
I'm fine. Fantastic. Glad to be back.
Great to have you back. Loving the new set as well.
Glad to see everyone's still alive.
Yeah, no.
No one's killed anyone yet.
No, well, I've started digging the patio with Mueller in anticipation of someone having a coronary this week. Good God. Mueller, victory. I love the fans there. They're cool.
Yeah, I got them from home. I was in Nigeria, so I picked them up.
I love how you've got a water bottle there, so you look healthy, but you've actually surreptitiously got alcohol underneath it.
I have water if I need it, and
And wine because you need it.
Yes, there we go. A girl is essential. The Week in Tech, all the big stories, all the shiz that's happened. Stick a link in the chat room. Let's kick it off, eh? And it's Jeff, fastest finger in the West.
I still don't get how I'm beating other people in with stories.
Because you're faster than them.
Oh, sure. Okay, that makes sense.
If there was an Olympic team for being fast on Command V, you and Campion would be shooting it out for the win. But Campion would be beating you, hands down, mate.
Yeah, but I'd take a solid silver in that one.
This is a great story that's got a picture that's next to it that is zero benefit to the story.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
What?
Yeah. Okay, so the deal is Western Digital, their old MyBook Drive storage devices, hard drives. Turns out there was a major, major security flaw in them, which allowed hackers to remotely log in because it is an internet connected drive, and then just do a factory reset and wipe all the data off the drive. Starting last week, literally thousands of devices got wiped, and they're estimating it's actually petabytes worth of data that was lost. And to make matters worse, Western Digital knew about the security flaws for years and chose not to do anything about it because these were no longer supported devices.
Yeah, they don't care anymore. Those little things have this tiny little PowerPC chip and one of those little sort of Unix kernely things with a little bit of code written on top of it, enough to make it run. And
yeah,
so these things are going to be. I'm sure these things are going to be vulnerable.
Well, the vulnerability is horrible because it was intentionally created. So at first, all we knew is that the code on the devices that would do the validation for password check to keep people from doing exactly what happened, all the code for that had been commented out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah, like
you could see in the code, someone wrote the code and just commented it out.
Which made no sense. Why would you do that? Well, Western Digital has since released a statement.
Authentication.
And what happened was that code was intentionally commented out because they were changing the authentication system. And so there was new code added that superseded the old stuff. So they just commented it out. But they never actually activated the new code.
Yeah.
So,
as someone who works in development, that's a really bad practice to do it that way. I mean, either remove the code, or if you comment it out, then there should be something where it says, hey, ticket number, this and that, remove this, or like enable the other one.
Mm. Like, I love the line here.
This shouldn't happen.
The discovery of the second exploit comes 5 days after people all over the world reported that their MyBook Live devices have been compromised. I've got to say, I've got three of those drives. I got the big ones. they're kind of archived now. They're jobs that I did plus 2 years ago, at the worst. So they're probably not going to get plugged into anything that's really that bothered about them. So I'm fairly safe. But,
if they have any level of internet access,
they have only through the computer, so it's not
okay. So just local network access.
Yeah, I'm not using it as a NAS or anything like that. No. Yeah. So I feel fairly sure, assured, but it's not good.
It's not good. Now, Western Digital's response to this, now that they've had time to think about it, is to do the expensive thing instead of to have years ago done the inexpensive thing, which is just fix the code. So now they're going to pay for data recovery for people that lost data because of this.
Good luck with that, if you can even recover everything.
Exactly. What I was going to say, can they actually recover the data?
Well, you know, if you get one of the really good data recovery services, you know, like Drive Savers, probably, or at least they'll be able to recover most of it. But if you go with just one of the cheapo things, no.
No, I mean, Vogon, if they still exist.
I mean, the CIA say that unless you physically shred the drive, they'll still get data off it. So there are, you know, commercially, there's people out there that will do it at a price, but but yeah, I mean, IMN Max, our very own IMN Max, will do recovery data, and they do pretty well at it as well, and they don't charge you if they don't get it. So there you go.
Yeah, I think they're dead now. Vogon used to be the company in the UK that was, I think they got bought by somebody years ago.
Yeah, I remember a story that we covered, and it's got to be five or 8 years ago, maybe even more.
And it could well have been me that brought it.
Well, yeah, it was a machine that had been developed where you put the entire physical drive in, and basically it spat out bits at the bottom.
Shredders. Yeah.
Yeah. They shredded the entire disk.
They're a lethal beast. Yeah, on track, but. Yeah, that's a company. If you actually do one,
that was on the back of the story that the CIA, that was the only way you could guarantee that there was no data to be recovered. You couldn't wipe all that kind of crap. They'd find it.
Department of Defense, isn't it? Yeah, the standard for so many low-level formats and God knows what else was supposed to do. It was supposed to be the magic thing. But people like Vogon and people like, OnTrack can still get it back.
The thing is, if this had happened in real time, and you've got Western Digital going, well, yeah, okay, sorry that's happened, but it's a legacy drive. You know, that was then, this is now. And they just understood it. But if someone's caught with the smoking gun of, yeah, we knew about it at the time, we did bugger all. That's not. I mean, I've always trusted Western Digital. And I know people get their favorite drives. And I've got to say, if I go to... if I go to Amazon to buy drives to myself, I'll always buy drives in pairs so that they're always mirrored backups of each other. And I tend to go for Western Digital if the price is right.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it's a few quid more, I'll still go for Western Digital. So they've lost me.
Well, one thing about drives are still the quality that they were before. It was just this package where they were making a internet accessible NAS essentially out of their own drives.
I think the other one I use begins with an S.
Seagate.
One thing.
Isn't that even the same company now? I think it is.
Yeah, it's all part of the same group. Yeah.
I haven't realized that.
One thing, you can't run.
Yeah. One thing to bear in mind with drives is the date on them, on the actual physical disk. I have various customers now that are getting to a point where they're having multiple drive failures. It's because they bought this bit of hardware populated with 50 drives, 20 drives, whatever it happens to be, all got the same serial, all from the same batch that was made 3 to 4 years ago. And they're all sort of starting to die. So no matter how good your RAID is, once you get 2-3 drives failing, the RAID's gone. It's scuppered already, even with RAID 6. RAID 6 gives you 2 drives. Parity, more than that, you're on a whisper and a prayer.
I've never raided.
And if your drives are 10 years older like 10 years older old. Then, I mean,
I mean, it's more like most of them are coming up for about 5 years old. The ones I tend to see with customer stuff, and it's the kind of thing. It's just getting to the end of lease for the hardware, and they're about to change over and get new kit in.
Yeah, and how many rights are you talking there, though, Ian?
Hundreds. It's I wish.
Oh, I hope it's a lot more than hundreds.
Hundreds of thousands of millions.
How many rights are there in on your drives? Well, it's got to be 10, 12,
10, 15, maybe. Yeah,
I mean, no, it paid for the upgrade, so you can get more than 9.
Oh, okay, then 19.
Yeah, joking, but I mean, it literally could be like if it's an archive disk that gets written like once, basically you write it and then you store it somewhere.
Yeah, like, most of these possible. Ones are just RAID sets. So some of the disks don't get used because they're sat in parity and they're not for use. They're failover. And if that's the one that's and if that dies and that's the one that's meant to be there, if the other drive dies, you're still in a bad place.
Mm-hmm. Which I've never done RAID. I've always looked I have no rational explanation for this whatsoever, but I've always looked on RAID with suspicion. I've always rather just mirror the drives.
RAID is great.
That is a mirror. Like if it's the correct RAID level, you're saying. It is a mirror.
Yeah, but I've always just had two drives and one I know is okay, so then I mirror it to the other one and it does a mirror back through ChronoSync and that's it. And I know you're going to go, well, actually, if you get a fault on one, then you get a fault on both. So
yeah, if you've got copy crap.
I mean, yeah. But I mean,
if someone finds me and they're that desperate, then let them have it. Okay.
I mean, that is for any RAID or any mirroring. Like, if you have a fault on one, you have a fault on the other. Like, that's... If you delete one on one, it's gone on the other. Like, for a RAID.
Yeah. If you back up rubbish, you're still going to have rubbish. Exactly. It's not going to make any difference.
An issue where I deleted a file mistakenly. It wasn't it wasn't the mirror's fault. It was my fault. But I mean, I've got so many SD cards that I just go back and I'm like plugging them in, you know, feverishly plugging them into the computers, going, "Oh shit, holy shit, be there!" But I've always found it. So they use them in sequence.
Yeah, and as we've discovered, I'll go on, Patrice.
Yeah, there's nothing to be afraid of with RAID. I mean, basically the entire web runs on RAID, like all servers, like including our servers, they all run RAID.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I don't know. I said I haven't.
You
got
just
a
have to know what you're
it.
Doing. I mean, don't do a RAID 0. Like, simple.
I just kind of the thing with RAID is it's like I paid good money for 5 drives and I'm only using 4 of them. That just feels wrong. Yeah.
but if you mirror them, you pay.
Yeah, if you mirror them, you paid good money for 2 of them and you're only using kind of 1, right? So
No, because they both got data on. That's what I'm saying. It's illogical. I haven't got a good reason.
No, it's fine.
I think it's RAID 0 has its place for performance. I mean, RAID 0 has its place for performance.
Yeah.
You get all the space of all the disks, but you get the performance because you stripe across all the disks, so you've got the performance. RAID 5 has its place for data, long-term data storage, where you want redundancy. And RAID 6 too, which is slightly more things you've got 2 disks in the pair. Again, the problem is it costs you 2 disks of the set. So if you've got 10 terabyte, you've got 2 5 10 terabyte drives, you're only going to have 3 of them in use or 4 of them in use. You know,
it's kind of AWS is there for now. I mean, I used to have like piles of hard drives of like 10 years of podcasts and YouTube videos and that. And now it's all just on a file on S3 and I don't care. A couple of hard drives with TV.
Do you still?
I know some customers that lost data on AWS because AWS has had outages where they lost data.
That's fair enough. But at least then I can shout at Amazon instead of worrying about doing it myself. It
doesn't really help you because they're not going to be able. I mean, they're not going to be able to do anything and they don't care.
Go on, Howard. What were you going to say?
Damn Amazon.
No, I was just going to say the same thing as Patrice. You know, what if they lose it? Some people. Yeah.
It's still good to have a backup somewhere else.
Yeah, backup of the backup. Every backup strategy. You always have backups of every backup.
The 3 backup rule.
Cloud?
Aren't they doing that, though?
Cloud?
Isn't...
Mm-hmm.
What? Use what? Cloud?
A cloud backup as well as SSD backup. Just dump the mechanical drives. They're not
SSDs
reliable.
But SSDs don't die on writes. You've got the write life on an SSD.
But you just said that if they only get written once, they're not going to get written again. So they get up to 50,000 writes or something like that. They're not going to die.
Current generation SSDs last longer than you will ever use them. Like they're
exactly.
Even if you use them heavily, they at least 5 years plus. Like under normal usage.
We've got SSDs that we're using the cameras, and we've had in excess of 200,000 writes on those, and they're still going.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're getting pretty good.
Yeah, most of the hardware people now have their arrays that the day it sits on, or their virtual server setups. Quite often, a portion of that for the faster work is done on RAID rated SSDs, and their corporate, their enterprise class ones, which is a kind of stage up from the thing you buy in Currys to put in your laptop, and those really do last 5 years or more. But again, we're seeing failures in those where they're now three, four years old, and they start to cook. And then they die. And if you die in pairs, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. You've got to have good strategies for backup. Make sure you've got more than one copy. Mm-hmm. Something's not backed up unless you've got three copies of it. Don't forget, it's what I do for a living. This is my day job. This is my day job, guys. This is what I do for a living.
Two backups is basically one, and one backup
one backup is none. Two backups is something. Three backups is ideal. One on-site. One off-site, and then one offline. That's kind of the ideal scenario if you want to look after your data.
Yeah. And to be clear, Amazon aren't doing that.
No.
Okay.
Amazon are not doing that.
No. I'm so sure about that before we get sued.
No. They're not doing backups at all. Like, Amazon does not do backups for you.
Nor
does
Microsoft.
You can do backups on Amazon and store them somewhere else. That's
so like you can buy two lots of storage and bounce it, but they're not backing up the DA. Yeah, that's fair enough.
They're not backing up. So they just provide redundancy so that, like, the failure is unlikely.
That's how they keep their prices so keen.
Yeah. Mm. So we have customers that have data stored on storage in Azure and storage in AWS, and they replicate the data between the two because they trust neither platform.
Yeah, that's the best approach.
And that's standard practice for a lot of them to make sure they don't lose data.
Netflix does that quite a bit, where they basically use all, like Google, like Azure, Amazon, they lose everything. Because if one of them goes down, they just reroute everything to the other one. They don't care.
Yeah. It's commodity now, anyway. That sort of stuff. That's the idea. It's all commodity.
Flying cars by 2030.
I like this one.
Yeah, I love. I talk about every time I see a flying car story, I've got to cover it because I so love the idea of flying cars. When I was a kid and you used to watch Tomorrow's World and all these science TV shows, they promised me flying cars in the 2000s. They promised me these wonderful things that would hover on my way to work.
Dude, they were promising them in the 50s.
Yeah, the 50s and 60s. They were promising
flying cars 20 years before I was even born.
Yeah, and we still haven't got one. I mean, I know there's a whole world of reasons why we don't, but I just love the romance of the idea of a flying car.
So what you're saying is this story is utter bollocks.
No, it's not. Hyundai's got a deal going on. I think I might have covered a variation of this story before in the UK, where there's going to be the first flying cars are going to sit in an airport in the centre of London, and they're going to be used as taxi service. So you are going to get the fifth element flying taxis in London. How cool is that? I mean,
I'm happy to test drive any of those.
Yeah, me too. I'm
you're kidding, Howard. You want to test drive a flying car when you've never flown anything your entire life?
Yeah.
How hard can it be? I'm a passenger. How hard can it be? I'm in for that.
I'll hop into a remote.
You don't have a pilot's license. There's no way you're going to be able to fly these at a pilot's license.
I believe these are automated. The idea were the ones I heard they were talking about.
There's no pilot.
Oh, God.
It's been good knowing you.
Run by Tesla.
Is there automated? You get to go sit inside, off it pops, and away it goes, and it's all controlled. And it's like a drone.
It's a folding seat, so you can kiss your ass goodbye.
Make sure you wear your parachute, and you'll be fine.
Absolutely, I love the idea of all this kind of
except the central lockings on the emergency system that's just failed, and you can't get the door open.
I'm assuming these don't fly high enough that a parachute would do you any good.
You hit the ground before. That's true. That's a good point.
But what if it doesn't? Ejection seats.
Yeah. I'm assuming they fly high enough that you're shagged if they come down. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. What a way to go. I mean, if you're going to go, why not go in a flying taxi?
Did you even read below the fold? This company showcased the flying car concept developed in conjunction with Uber.
Yes, I did. I knew that. I knew that. Didn't... Yeah, I haven't mentioned it yet.
Didn't... Oh, mate, you'll get picked up.
See, that's taken me off there. That then.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm not up for a testing.
That's the reality check. The word Uber is the reality check on everything. Oh, so sorry, we've picked you up, sir. We're cancelling the ride. Boom, and you're at the bottom.
Geralt. Oh, that's all right. If we go out the ejector seat, do you get the tie from Martin Baker? Because that's what happens if you survive an ejection from the from a plane through an ejector seat. You get there's a Martin Baker tie.
What are these powered on, by the way?
I think magic.
And prayers.
Magic.
Well, because the thing is, right?
They're VTOL. They're and I think it's
anti-gravity.
I think they're electric. I'm sure these things are electric.
Alien technology.
Yeah.
No, because the thing is, right, if it's 2030, they've got no production available at 2030 if it's petrol.
Uh-huh. Well, they'll be electric. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they'll be electric. They have to be.
And if it's E, VTOL, that means one electrical fault and the whole thing's knackered and you're going straight down.
Yeah, it says they're capable electric vertical takeoff and landing. Fantastic. And
do you know what is the characteristic of everything that's capable of vertical takeoff and landing? Without power, it flies like a house brick.
Yep.
It doesn't glide. Well, it does, Ian, but straight down.
What they could do is actually let the black cabs run them, and then they won't go south of the river.
That's true. Yeah, it'd be all right.
Ian, that's not 100% correct, because helicopters have auto rotation, so they don't go down like right away. They actually can go down slower.
These aren't helicopters.
These ain't helicopters.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's basically a flying brick, so.
Yeah, helicopters also rotate. You
ever try one?
No. Yeah. Didn't Uber have a helicopter?
They're run by computers, so they might see a cloud and think it's a brick wall and go,
I expect you'll be halfway through your flight and you'll get a screen that comes up and says, Windows is updating. Do not turn the computer off. And then the engine will stop.
Yes. Hit F1.
You're screaming. I'm going back to last week's show, but you're screaming towards the earth and it says, press F1 to enter setup.
Your destination's 404.
I don't think these,
you're not allowed to get here.
I don't think these are flying cars. These are some sort of flying vehicle, granted, but flying car says I'm driving along the road. Uh-oh, bit of traffic up ahead. Press my turn into flying mode button, and off I go in the air.
Okay.
That's the flying car. The man with the golden gun, flying car.
Yes, okay, I was thinking of that, yes.
That's a flying car. This is just a little helicopter. We've already got little helicopters.
I think it relies on aerodynamics, but yes, it's a plane.
It's much scarier than a helicopter, which seemed to be doing all right as far as flying vehicles go.
I think it's like those pitch and rotate propellers that you get on the thing that's on Transformers 1.
I just feel like if I can't also drive it along the road,
it's not a car. All right, I'll give you that.
It's not a car, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's 60 miles, 180 miles an hour. Yeah, I'm still happy to be in part of that. I will go for that.
60 miles at 180 miles an hour.
Did she say that you
can
do that?
Yeah, I'm in for all of that.
That's just instantly. We're developing a runwayless airport in London, which means the furthest we can go is Reading.
That's fine. That works for me. I work in Reading occasionally. That works for me. I'll have that.
Basingstoke at a push.
Yeah, as long as it can't get to Slough, we'll be all right.
Oh, it'll be over Slough, mate. I was not far.
We can land on the M42.
Yeah.
No, Harry's in the posh end of Hayes, so we're all right.
All right, that's all right in the posh bit. Not in Slough.
Well, we could stop at Harry's if you go to the rugby then.
Hayes is posh. Near Combrook. Combrook's even posh.
Is it? That's news to me.
Have you been to the Italian at Combrook?
No, I haven't.
Raimondo. Go and see Raimondo and say Ewan sent you. It's stunning. It is a proper Italian family that cook proper Italian food. It is responsible for the fact that I'm a fat bastard. I did the male sort centre at HWDC at Langley, and I ate there a lot. I think I've done the entire menu, actually.
Probably. Did they give you a badge for that?
Along with a lot of Peronis. No, but Raimondo, it was great. He used to give me bags of pizza flour and stuff so I could make my own pizzas at home. Nice. Back before I couldn't have pizza. Those are the days. Howard, I'm going to come down and visit you. We're going to go to Raimondo's. I hope he's still alive because I'm going back 15 years, maybe more. Well, 20 years, actually. So, yeah. Right, we're on, mate. When I'm out of isolation. Twitter, TikTok, Google, and Facebook promise to boost protections for women online. Trisha's story.
Yeah, so there was apparently some UN Generation Equality Forum in Paris this week that nobody heard about, nobody even knew existed, so...
That's because Matt Hancock was groping Gina.
That's probably why, yeah.
Too much, yeah.
Anyway, there has been apparently a year-long or year-and-a-half-long talk with the World Wide Web Foundation about this topic, and those companies, Twitter, TikTok, Google, and Facebook, have promised at least that they will improve their safety features for women especially. Things like allowing you to control who can send you messages or who can even respond to your posts, improving the abuse mechanisms and being also a little bit more sensitive, having more people actually in the mix, not just automated stuff that usually gets everything wrong. Surprisingly, or not really surprising, there's nothing concrete. They're all saying, oh yeah, we're doing that, but they're not saying when or how or anything that would say, okay, in the next half year there will be something. They're just saying, oh yeah, we're committed to doing this.
I think it's hard to... I've taken my fair share of stick over the years for things that I've posted. Some of it's probably justified. But there's a hard point where you draw the line between something which is just plain offensive and critical. And critical shouldn't be censored, but plain offensive absolutely should.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why...
That's the hard part to draw, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why they need people, because that's not something that a computer can really judge. Especially since a lot of the abuse can be very, very subtle. I can look totally fine on the surface, and then you read a little bit in the context of maybe also other messages and the people involved and so on, you see, okay, that's it was intended to be harmful, and it just was very subtle. So it's not an easy topic, but it's good that someone is saying they're doing it. It's just a matter of will they?
The ethic of what it's trying to achieve, I'm totally behind, but the application of what it's trying to achieve, I think, is a minefield. Absolute minefield.
Well, it is. It is, but on the other hand, it is a big problem. Go ahead, Howard.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, it's always a problem, especially when you're dealing with humans. So.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to say, Howard, is this necessarily a gender issue? Or even a non-binary gender issue? Is it just an issue of the fact that if someone disagrees with you and you don't like it, that then becomes abuse when actually it's debate? And there was someone made a comment the other day. I think it was Crikey Trousers in the Slack room said that the problem is that nobody can debate anymore. And when we live in a progressive society, the ability to stand up and disagree with the person who opposite you is the worst of the opposition opinion to yours, and talk your corner while they talk their corner, that's a democracy. That's what we should have. It's not about calling abuse when someone says the opposite. That hasn't come out right, but you know what I'm saying? It's like the ability to debate and disagree with each other is the cornerstone of a progressive society, surely.
Oh, civil society as well, because there's no other way we can... no way you can understand another person's position.
I think that...
If you can't debate and talk about it.
Clearly had a dividing line before, because if I vehemently disagreed with Patrice, she would know I was disagreeing with her because of my body language and the way that I was putting it over and... the language that I used and the tone of my voice and that kind of stuff. And that's all lost on the internet. So you never get that understanding of the person's offensiveness around your comment.
But that's what I was going to say.
You can see in some cases, though, where it's a problem. There's disagreement and argument, and then there's the toxic behavior that we see a lot of people participating in without recourse.
I see that
and then saying, and you're a slut and you should die.
I see that every day on Twitter. Like it's not a theoretical thing. And I think there is to some extent it's a gender thing. Probably not. Yeah. No, definitely not only, because there are other groups that get it too.
Mm-hmm.
I see, like, someone posts something about, like, I don't know, some code she's written. Like, I follow a lot of female developers, like at Apple and whatever. She writes about something she has written, and then you get the vilest responses to that.
No, that's, like, that's nothing that, to that's do not with what she said. No.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely said, that's the problem. There. No, if there is abuse, that is entirely. Yeah. I'm not. Please don't think that I was suggesting that this isn't an issue. What I'm saying is, when you get to the subtler elements of it, it gets incredibly difficult to differentiate between the two. Someone saying what Jeff just said, I got zero interest in that person having air to breathe. That's not okay.
But it is sometimes subtle, and it's still abuse. So it's that's where it gets, as you said, it gets very difficult, like, it's to judge what
difficult
is
difficult to sort of discern. Yeah.
So it is simply a problem, and it has been a problem for a long time.
The problem that we've got with this story is the fact that the we're all unanimous on the fact of what it's trying to achieve is correct. But the application of it and the subtleties of how you actually employ that and inscribe it into a function, a criteria for the net is incredibly difficult.
And unfortunately, too many times we've seen that companies say they do it and then nothing changes. They just don't care.
That's what I was going to say, is watch this space, because I think we're going to be saying the same thing come next year, or somebody else is, you know. Another group has signed some petition or done some document. I think it's still going to be there.
Well, we've already seen this with Facebook during the last U.S. presidential election campaign, where they said, we aren't going to allow all of this negative, toxic campaign advertising to happen. And they were going to stop giving people recommendations to extremist groups. And for a little while, it looked like they might be doing some of that. But in the end, nothing has changed. So while I like the words that they're giving us here, hey, we want to do something about this, I'm not confident that they will follow through, or that they'll follow through in a meaningful way.
An example I had several years ago, I had someone write a comment on iTunes that I was homophobic, and I wrote to Apple and said, sorry, but that is not even close to the truth of the matter. And I'm awfully sorry, but that is also a defamation of my character. Mm-hmm. So unless you take it down, there'll be serious consequences. They took it down in a heartbeat. But that's where we're at, that obvious end. So the words that you're talking about, Jeff, that is a very obvious end of the spectrum. And people, I think, a lot of sites are working very well towards that. They are seeing that explicit language and acting upon it. But as we've been saying, absolutely, it's essential. But when you get to the subtler end of it, it's very much more difficult, because that person then put something in afterwards, which was a change around. They still wanted to pop at me, but they changed the language, and I still got it taken down.
I still think Facebook gets it wrong, though, because I've got a friend of mine who we're constantly having a go at each other, but it's all out of fun, and we both keep getting these warnings. This is bullying. We both put on there, Facebook, poke your nose out. We're taking the care of each other.
They can't. That's the trouble. If you look at the rulings this week as well, there's been something they're saying about modern slavery or something with Facebook being liable for it, or something to do with trafficking, human trafficking. They're liable for it. It's been a court ruling this week.
Mm-hmm.
They can't ignore ridiculous. It, mate. Mm. No, but the thing is, if you want to do that stuff, do it in text. Don't do it in a forum where people will look at it and kids will look at it potentially and go, that's normal behavior, when it's not. It's behavior between two mates that should be in text. That's I think what they're trying to say.
Exactly. I mean, you have to be friends to see it.
But it's still on some level public.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to defend it, Buller, but I'm saying that might be the reason why they're getting involved, and I think that is a valid reason.
Yeah,
I must admit, since we've both kept putting on their butt out, they haven't deleted the comments.
I called Sharon the other day a rancid old trout.
Uh-oh.
Because she took the piss out of me. No, she took the piss out of me. And my word for her is, when she's pissing me off, shut up, you rancid old trout. It's not bullying. Hang on. So I was talking to someone about that at a party, and I said, that's the word I use, because they use a really bad word. And I was like, no, don't use that. There's so much better words in the language, like rancid old trout. And she said, give me an example. So I gave the example. Now, in a semi-public forum, there was a load of people there who overheard it and went, oh! But for Sharon and I, it doesn't mean anything. It was just like she calls me other words that I can't use on air. But it's our thing. But we tend to do it between each other. We don't tend to do it with third parties there, because it's misconstrued that I have no respect for her, or she has no respect for me, etc. So
I was going to do your eulogy as well.
My eulogy, mate, it'll be short.
Oh yeah.
If we read out reviews from my chat, it'll be really short.
I'm assuming your eulogy will be Ewan won't be joining us for the big show next week.
I can edit.
I can edit.
3 words. Piss off, wanker.
Oh really? I don't say that. I never said that. I think actually that the incident I'm talking about was where he said that it's getting rather tiresome of the Nazi references with the German guest. And I said, I've never mentioned the Nazis. I've just mentioned, how did you fight a war during May? Yeah. And I think the following week, Patrice, we asked you what you were doing next week, and you said you were invading Poland, just to kind of reinforce my position.
Exactly.
Howard's story, coding error spotted in Tim Berners-Lee. Howard, you spotted a coding error in Santa Lee.
I did, didn't I?
Wash your mouth out, girl. You're going to hell. Tim Berners-Lee's up for sainthood.
He's up for sainthood, yeah. Somebody spotted an error. Well, they're not sure if they have spotted an error, and I can't see. I don't understand that code, so I wouldn't be able to tell you whether it is an
error. Any idea? Anyone?
I know what it is.
Oh, go on.
I'm assuming they're missing a semicolon somewhere.
No. It is basically a C C file for like how to define HTML. Like the problem is that there are some characters in there that should actually not be escaped, and they're escaped.
So, right.
Well,
it would not work. Like the code as it's written.
So it's just a screenshot that's what he's done is wrong, but the actual underlining code, then we're all safe, because otherwise the internet would have broken a long time ago.
I love the fact that Sotheby's have put that picture up, which means someone bought that. They bought shit code. It's like a diamond with a flaw, except for codes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, is the price going to go up now in value, given that there is an error?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're like a Ming vase of coding. It's only the fact that it's impure that it makes it valuable, because it's clearly handmade.
Yeah. The problem is, it wasn't Tim Berners-Lee who made a mistake. It was whoever took the screenshot. So if it was him, like, that would have been super valuable.
It's another one of these NFT sales as well, isn't it? These things are buying effectively nothing for something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one went for $5.4 million.
That's quite a lot of money for...
Yeah.
That's quite a lot of money to spend on a buggy code.
A screenshot. Not even a text file of buggy code, but a screenshot. You've got the source.
I should really take a screenshot of like some of our BTN website code and sell
them. Yeah, and sell them. I make money, it's true.
No, that wouldn't be flawed, Patrice, because you've written a lot of it.
There's still a lot of mistakes in there.
Well, that's because everyone's dibbed in from the start. I mean, yeah,
but as I said, we could make so much money with our code. Like, it's full of mistakes. Perfect.
Mate, our entire life started on iWeb. And how much of that still... No. The only way I could post shows was iWeb when we first started. It was 2008. Mm-hmm. The Daily Show went up with an iWeb website. Simple as.
Wow. You know, even though it had issues, I still miss iWeb.
I loved iWeb. It was dead easy. As a graphic design kind of background, it was perfect for me because I could make it look good and I didn't have to do any coding for it because I was an idiot.
Yeah, it was great. I hadn't done any coding. Yeah, I miss iWeb.
What's the Microsoft called?
I think people who've got a general understanding of the web in general would say that they probably don't miss iWeb, but idiots like myself do miss iWeb. Some form of, and everyone goes, oh well, it's really simple. You got, you know, what's the one, the Adobe one? It's really simple. You're like, I've looked at that, and it starts above my level. It's just no. I'm sorry. It's too.
I'm not a fan of Dreamweaver.
I mean, Howard's going to be appalled at me now, but even WordPress is a bit too much for me at times. I can do odd things.
It's
I can edit old web page addresses and stuff like that, and I could do a little bit on some of the pages that we've got, and that's probably where most of the mistakes are.
Yeah. What was the Microsoft thing called? Front page, I think?
Oh, front page. Front page.
My eyes are going to move now.
That was awful. I did stuff with that. I started with that one.
That's literally what I started with, I think.
How are you not an alcoholic?
So I don't know. Maybe that's...
I am.
Front page. That'll do it.
I put so much padding and junk in the code, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. It was,
and then when I learned how HTML5 was written after that, and I'm going, really? Or four, even, it probably was then.
I can't.
Three, even.
Yeah, it's probably four.
Three or four, wasn't it?
Three, probably.
So I can do all of that I did in four lines, and that's like a page full of God knows what.
Mm-hmm.
Mind blown. I can't remember any of it now.
But because Howard's criticized Uncle Tim, does that mean she's going to hell now?
I haven't criticized him. I just thought it was very interesting that had happened. But you will be happy to know all the proceeds are going to charity.
So. Good. That'd excellent. Say 40 Hail Marys and call me in the morning. who's got the next story? Because I've run out now. It's Muller or Rich.
Oh, hang on. Go on, Rich, first. I'll do mine. I'll put mine in as well. But do yours first.
No, after you. No, after you. No, after you.
After you.
After you. So British.
So poster for you. Rich, France orders streaming services.
Yes.
To reinvest in live content. Go.
This individual story is really just one little bit of a much bigger thing that is happening around the world at the moment, is that there are a number of countries that have laws regarding how much local content must be shown on various streaming services on television, and it stretches to things like how much local music must be in the charts and all kinds of stuff like that. And in this particular story, France have just made it so that 25% of revenue made in France has to be spent on local content made in France, which is great. And they're applying that to Netflix and Disney and that sort of thing. It's going to be an interesting thing for them to have to deal with as companies. One of the bigger areas we're running into problems with this is that the EU in general have laws like this, and we are no longer in that. And so when it comes to things like selling Doctor Who to Netflix in Germany and stuff like that, suddenly things are not so simple and not so straightforward anymore. because we are no longer local content.
It is.
So the market within Europe for foreign content, which we, you know, we are now, is shrinking rapidly as they bring in all these sort of legal defenses to make homegrown content be much more prevalent on things like Netflix and stuff.
Well, is that what this is doing though? This thing's not trying to make Doctor Who German.
No, it's not. No. It's not about that. It's saying the Germans can only buy so much. No, sorry, it's the other way around. So, for example, in, I don't know if the Germans even have this rule. We're just using it as a random example. But say they have a rule that said 25% of all content on Netflix Germany has to be German.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that limits the amount of that other 75% of content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And before, we might have fitted within that 25% because we were EU and it was all local content, whatever. But now we're up against everybody else and everything. So they might not be able to buy Doctor Who or other things like that. There might be stuff they're much more interested in because now their ability to buy our stuff is limited to even show it.
Yeah, sometimes you simply can't produce more local content so that you would be able to buy someone else's.
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing. And I know Canada have similar things as well.
Was ist das? Das ist ein Schraubein seiner.
And what?
Sonic what? Screwdriver.
Oh.
Ah, right.
Schraubenzieher.
Schraubenzieher. Das ist ein
Schraubenzieher.
Schraubenzieher.
Yeah, Sonic Screwdriver. I've honestly never heard Doctor Who in German, so I wouldn't even know what they call it.
No, but I think there is a bit of a renaissance of foreign content at the moment. If you go into, you had the, I can't remember, it was Alice, something, Remembering Alice or Being Alice or, and that
I think
was
it was Being Alice.
Yeah. Being Alice. That was all done in Hebrew. And I watched the first episode of that. And it was kind of, it was really cool that it was done in Hebrew. But as an English speaking person who knows no Hebrew whatsoever, outside of Avner Gila, I just, it was like, I can't do this. This like French stuff, I'm okay with because I've got a little bit of French. And if you mix that in with me reading the subtitles and I'm not noticing them, really, I'm convinced I'm speaking fluent French by the time I've got halfway through a film. But with that, I couldn't do that. But that was really cool that it was done. And like I said, that you know, there's a lot of choices now. If you go into the other, I can't remember what they call it in Apple, but it's you go into other discoveries or new discoveries, and nearly always in there it's foreign language films to choose from, and they're bloody good, some of them.
Yeah,
really good.
The TV show Tehran, for example, which is I think it's dual language, like it's. So they have subtitles, and I think some of it is in what is that, Persian, probably? Whatever, Iran is spoken there. And I think the other language is also a foreign language. I don't remember. It's not English.
There is some good stuff out there. And I think the fact that they, if you're saying, Rich, that they're going to enshrine that so that the languages aren't lost to Americanism of individual cultures.
Well, they're already doing it. They're just upping it.
Yeah, no, that's good.
It's been a practice for a long time.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's a dual purpose, honestly. Because one, it invests in your local, like in your local film and music and whatever industry. And two, it prevents also, as you said, like the Americanism, which is,
I don't want this to come out that I hate Americas, because I absolutely don't. I've got family over there and I've got great friends over there, and there's one of them right here. But I hate the Americanization of English language, and I hate the Americanization of the planet. My kids come home and they go, it's in the elevator. No, it's a friggin' lift. I want a peanut and jelly sandwich. There's no jelly. You can have a peanut sandwich or nothing. You know, we don't do. You know,
you can have jam.
Kind of stuff.
Jam, yeah. I was going to say jam.
You should give them actual jelly and see how they like it.
We were talking about ring pulls. Do you remember like the ring pull you used to get on the Cokes? So you pull the ring pull off.
The whole thing comes off.
You'd sit and separate the curled bit from the ring, and then you could spin the ring across the room off the curl bit. Yep. I was trying to explain that, and they went, it's a tab. It's a soda tab. It's It's not a frigging soda tub. It's a ring pull. okay.
It's Legos.
No, Legos. Lego.
America. I just don't like Americanization of other cultures. And I think that's the problem that you've got, is that Hollywood is Americanizing an awful lot of national cinema, and that has to stop. I think that's a really
good thing.
By the
amount of money that they're spending on it.
It's not just that, though. My daughter loves all sort of things like TikTok and all those other kind of things, and YouTube and stuff. And both of my younger kids, and the stuff they watch is primarily American content creators. There's nothing wrong with the content they create, but it means the language they pick up and the words they hear generally Americanized English. So occasionally they say something and we look, go, hang on, don't you mean? That's what they said on the YouTube. I know, but you live in England, it's different. Oh, yeah, of course it is. It's just kind of an interesting thing. They're good enough to go, all right, that's not. I can't think what the latest one was that we ended up looking around at and going, do what? Just because of the content's great that they look at. Nothing wrong with the content. It's just more the fact that they're so used to hearing some of the words spoken with American accents or with an American emphasis.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of a little bit, as you can imagine, a little bit divided on that one. I think on one hand, it's good to have those like diverse languages and so on. On the other hand, it is good to have like a common language for everywhere. And I think that simply turned out to
be it's good
English
be
or American English.
Well, it should be. No, it should be English, not American English. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
we've got plenty of U's.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of U's in the UK.
We have to ration them over here.
There's a show title. Plenty of U's for everybody.
Yeah, Ellis. Yeah. Ellis used to watch a lot of shows and stuff, and one day he got a pound off his grandparents and we went over to Tesco's and he wanted to buy cream soda. So he bought two bottles of cream soda because they'd started stocking it, and he brought it home and he poured it into a glass and he was like, and you could see on his face instantly, he thought it tasted like...
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he went, I really like this, Dad. I said, really? Because I tried it, I was in the States before you were born. It tasted like shit. And he went, yeah, I ate it.
And on the opposite of that, I love root beer. I want root beer in the UK, and I have to struggle around and try and find various places to find
you
root
can get
beer.
It at
Aldi do it.
You can get it.
Oh, that's awful! It's awful of sweeteners. It's awful of sweeteners.
It's full of sugar. It's worse.
But that's the original thing. Like, I mean, that's what it's about.
Oh yeah, I like the ones full of sugar. You can get the fancy ones in Tesco's and Sainsbury's.
You can get the
full
sugar ones.
Yeah, yeah, they're the best ones. Yeah, yeah,
you can make it yourself.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, try make it yourself.
I must have a go at some point.
It's easy to make.
Grow some licorice root. It'll only take you 2 years.
Takes a bit longer than that because you have to plant it first.
So don't be too thirsty.
All that sugar.
Yeah, and cane sugar. You want proper cane sugar as well. None of the refined stuff either.
It wouldn't be American if it's not full of sugar.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I love
AMB and all that sort of stuff is lovely.
Ian's got an entire field of licorice root and an entire field of cane sugar, so he can make one glass of genuine Yorkshire root beer.
I'm sure there'd be a market for it. It's one of those things you used to be able to get in McDonald's years ago, but.
Dude, we told you, you can get it at Wing Yips and you can get it at Costco.
Yeah,
I didn't get it at Asda, and you can get it at...
Yeah, you can now more than you used to, but it's still not a regular item. It's not a regular item, though, but it's still not a regular item.
Have I told you the story about whiskey? Hockintoshin.
You can buy that as well.
I'm going back years and years and years ago, and I wanted to buy my dad for his birthday a bottle of Hockintoshin because my friend had given it me 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And I was like, oh, I really like that. So this is going back 15, 20 years. And I was like, can I buy it? Right, okay, I'm going to go to Hockintoshin and ask them where they sell it, if I can buy some. And I went online and I could only pay like $275 a bottle, and it had to come from the States. I'm like, I'm not paying that. I love my dad, but not that much. So I rang, I got a number for Hockintoshin, and I actually got the Hockintoshin Visitor Center, and the woman answered, hello, like, is that the Hockintoshin Distillery? And she went, no, could you give me their number? No. Is their number available anywhere else? No. And put the phone down. She clearly gets 50 calls a day of people looking for the distillery. And then I finally got this deal. He rang him up and I said, I want to get a bottle of Macintosh for my dad. Could you tell me where I could buy some, please? She went, yeah, hang on. Where do you live? I said, Birmingham. Have you got a postcode? So I gave her the postcode. And she said, Sainsbury's Castle Veal. I spent a week on the frigging internet looking for it, and it was at Sainsbury's 3 miles down the road.
That was a bird.
Muller, Engadget, story about Amazon reportedly using algorithms to fire Flex drivers.
Yeah, this is quite a concerning story because it's, I think it's kind of zero out contract people, and they're, you get them occasionally around here, but they deliver parcels. But if they have a puncture or they can't get into a premises or for some reason the Amazon lockers are broken, they're getting marked down for not delivering or delivering late. And then they're getting sacked by a computer. And if you look, you have to pay $200 or I don't know how much it is in the UK to dispute your termination. Probably in the UK, you be a decent thing, but this is absolutely crazy. I mean, basically a computer's decided that you can't deliver your parcels. There's no black and white. It is black and white. That's the problem.
Yeah, there's no shades of gray in order to say, oh yeah, no, it's
been $200 to dispute your termination.
Wow.
American employment rights.
What's wrong with the United States?
Yes.
Well, one of many things, but this is
this is wrong.
You could not do this in the EU or in the UK.
Yeah.
You couldn't do this in the UK or EU.
$200. Is it refundable? No.
No, it's not.
No, it's not refundable either. We were wrong, but we got £200 for saying it. Something.
And you'd probably get 40 cents or dollar for each delivery you do, so you have to do another 2 weeks' work to get the money back. Yeah, anyway.
The time you're going to waste on that to dispute it and probably like have discussions, whatever, it's not worth the money.
No, absolutely not.
It sort of feels like, you know, Amazon get a lot of negative press for how their staff are treated at various locations around the world and that sort of thing.
Particularly US.
And you sort of feel at this point it's kind of indefensible and kind of malicious and intentional at this point. Like there are clearly people at Amazon whose job it is to make life for their employees on some level as difficult as possible. I am very sure it is done under the guise of saving as much money as is humanly possible, keeping costs as low as possible, etc. But it results in treating people like crap. And at this point, it's been going on for so long, so much, and is so widespread. Clearly, they just don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. That's probably true.
We've had a lot of trouble with Amazon drivers around here in the past years, but I've got to say, the worst of the Amazon drivers are not the ones that turn up in the white vans, they're the ones that turn up in the Prime vans. Regularly, they ring the doorbell and they've started their engine and they're off. They're either just pulling away before I've got to the door. They don't even check that I'm here. Then they're gone. And it's only the Prime one. The lady that turns up in the white van and the guy that comes in the car, they're good as gold. They're lovely people. Mm-hmm. Really, really
That's
good.
Only because they get paid if they actually complete the delivery.
65 pence per parcel.
Really?
The US, they don't even bother to see if you're there. They show up at your house, drop the package on your porch, and walk away.
Yeah. If you're lucky, they ring the doorbell. If you're lucky.
No.
Do you put glitter in yours?
Glitter bombs, that's what you need. I want a glitter bombs. I really do want a glitter bomb package.
You reminded me now. What was the make of that camera you were on about, Muller? The one you bought for your house? Because I'm getting sick of this office where I'm sitting. Blink, thank you. I'm going to have a look. Now, I
can't get them at the moment. They're out of sale. They're out of stock.
Oh, they sold them all in Prime, did they? Because I'm sat down the garden at the other end of my garden, the very end of my garden. Anytime anyone comes to deliver, and twice this week with different things, I've got to leg it down the garden and get to the, which is no problem. 99% of the time, it's no problem. Everyone that normally delivers to us knows that it will take a minute for someone to come just because we've got to hear the doorbell and get down to the other end of the house. But the guy from delivering food, another guy with a parcel today, was the minute I immediately opened the door when he rang the doorbell, was all ready to leave. And the same with the man from there. So if I get one of them cameras you're on about, it'd be excellent. So at least shout on the camera at him, hang on, I'm coming.
You want an intercom door system? I've just bought one for my dad, where it's a screen that's embedded and he can just push a thing to talk and say, I'm on my way, because the problem he's got is he's 90 and he's rushing to get to the door. I'm like, Dad, I don't want you rushing to get to the door, because that's when you fall over and that's when you call me. And if we're lucky, you call me. So, you know, I want a thing that goes, hang on, I'm coming, just wait, please. Because the other problem is that his door opens outwards. So they'll get like a big package that's got nutrition drinks in it for him and like my mum's incontinence pads. And they stuff it down and they run away and they've stuck it in front of the door because they think the door opens inwards, and it doesn't, it opens outwards. So then he can't get the door open and he's got to ring us to come up to move the stuff so we can bring it in for him. There's no thought.
But he put a box outside with a locking lid so it can just drop it in and lock
it. Well, that's the thing is he's got an electronic door now, roller shutter door. So if he uses this device, he can look at them and then say, right, I'm going to open the roller shutter door, and he can open it from his chair and they can put it in and then he can close it again from his chair. So,
oh, that's clever. That's cool.
It'll work. This podcast is brought to you by TSO Hosts. We love them to bits. Having a chat with Sarah in a couple of weeks because she's back from Portugal and we're going to talk about some options for the future. They've looked after us for a long time now. And you should look after them. If you want anything for hosting, then please make sure you give them a check out and use the offer code BTN20. If they're there or thereabouts on price, we'd be grateful if you buy it from them because it makes a difference to us, plain and simple. You can find them at tsohost.com. Also, please, all they want from you is brand recognition. Get yourself out on the socials and type thanks at tsohost or at British Tech. If you're listening to this show every week, once a week, you need to do that. And also say thanks to at imnmax as well, because they look after us and we'd be lost without them too. They are a great service right here in Birmingham. If you've got anything with an Apple logo on it, they will fix it. They've got data recovery services. They've got secondhand machines. They've got all sorts. Spoke to Rob today, who's in the chat room, GB Redneck, and he said, oh, I sent them a computer a few weeks ago and they're looking at fixing it, and I damaged the T2 chip. So they've given me a quote to fix it, and I'm just kind of thinking, I don't know if I want to do that. And I said, well, have you got a problem? He went, no, I've got a problem. No problem at all. They're fantastic. I'm just worried that it's worth me spending that amount of money on a machine that's 5 years old. Different thing entirely from a company actually who are superb. They've done Muller's thing and they've got data back for me and they've done loads of things for other people. So check them out and make sure you mention BTN when you order, because A, we get the credit for it, and B, you get 5% off. Superb. Time for the cool thing. Start us off somewhere. Jeff, start us off with the cool thing, please.
All right. I'm going old school and I have a physical book for you. And it's Jupiter's Legacy Volume 1. So it's a Netflix TV series. And
I have watched it.
And and the TV series has done pretty well. Yeah. But if you want to see what it came from, you know, here you go. And like the art inside, you know, the art's nicely done. It's good colors. It's nice art. And
It's quite an interesting concept, because it starts at the Depression, really, with the death of one of their fathers. And then it goes on, the only thing I thought about the TV series was it jumps backwards and forwards too much.
Unnecessarily. I agree. They do way too much of that. Yeah. Like at one point I was timing it just kind of loosely in my head, and you got no more than 2 minutes in each time frame.
Yeah.
And it just kept, good. It was just bam, 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 bam. Yeah. It was too much.
But the actual premise of the story is superb. It brings up an awful lot of intelligent questions about the morality of superhero status.
Mm.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm.
Mark Miller writes some brilliant stuff. I've also chucked a link in the chat room for the Humble Bundle that's just come out today, which is a charity. Right. They do electronic copies of all these books. And they've got one for Millerworld and Netflix comics. So for 18 quid, and it's not my cool thing, by the way, but just since Jeff mentioned it, and I just saw it when I was scrolling my email just now, you can get all of the Kick-Ass series, Kick-Girl, Reborn, all of the Jupiter's Legacy. The Jupiter's Legacy series is in there.
Very good.
Kingsman.
All
for 20 quid. Kingsman. Oh, for, yeah, it's another Mark Miller creation. It's Kingsman.
I never knew this.
Ulfa, and the I read earlier in the year the one called The Magic Order, which is also part of that. That was brilliant. That was really good. And that's 20 quid and I get a load of CBRs, EPUB, Moby Dyke files you can just download. I've got stuff from these guys before, and the charities they work with are brilliant. So it's a good thing all around, in all honesty.
Excellent. No, good chat. Excellent, Jeff. So yours is available on paperback from Amazon at $5.20. And it's a pay what you want system for the charity donations. But
that Humble Bundle, that's a really nice deal.
380 quid's worth. For whatever
I was about to. Well, they'd like you to pay 18 quid. And to be fair, I'm going to. I shall pick that one up because it'll be a nice lot of new things to read. Some stuff I've read in the past and some stuff I haven't that I can have sat on my iPad when I'm bored and I fancy something different to read.
Oh,
can dip into one of them.
Offer ends in 20 days, though, so get on to it.
Yeah. They've always got different deals.
Already.
Yeah, no, they get also, they have loads of different deals as well, the Humble Bundle, guys. It's well worth a little poke round and see anything else you fancy. Super.
That's a good Wanted.
It's a great pick.
Yeah, Wanted was another one of theirs. Another one of his, Mark Miller.
Muller, you've picked Bosch.
Oh, yeah. Harry Bosch, I think it's a big favourite in the slap room.
Oh, it is, absolutely. No dissenters either.
No, and I've been binge watching it again. I started it.
No spoilers, we're only about four in at the moment, so.
Yeah. Well, I've been watched it from the beginning to catch up to start watching the new one, so I haven't even started watching the new one yet. I'm actually about to start the new one, but I wanted to binge watch it to catch up. Because, I mean, it's quite a complicated story.
You normally find with a lot of the American TV.
Hello,
yeah, we're here. Yeah, we got you. You've run out of juice, maybe.
No, the crap these things are. I don't like
You often find with American TV series that they'll have, even the good ones will have a series where you're kind of like, meh, that's not so good. But there's none of those in Bosch. Every single episode of every single series is worth watching. It's brilliant. Well worth doing. If you haven't picked it up, you are in for a treat. There are seven seasons to catch up on.
And I've read most of the Harry Bosch novels over the years and always loved them. I keep meaning to get around to watching some of this, but it's no. And I'm next, no when traveling comes back and I'm got stuck in hotel rooms, this is definitely one of the ones on the list of things to try and chomp my way through.
Yeah, no, very good. Rich, what have you got for us, mate?
This week, I have been mostly using a phone app called Hiya, H-I-Y-A, because I get spam calls, you know. Dear God, do I get spam calls. Right. It was at the point of sort of two or three a day through to my phone. Just infuriating. Hiya is, I think there's I'm certainly using the iOS version. I assume there's an Android version. And this is a call blocker. With a database behind it that is updated. It's really good. It's blocking. I've not had another single spam call or unwanted phone call since putting this on my phone. I did you get a 7-day free trial if you want to give it a go. And then it's $3.99 a month after that, which
very good.
I'm going with. It's fine. I'd rather the network did something about the amount of spam calls I get. But if it's down to me, this app seems to work it really well. And I've not had any spam calls since I put it on my phone. So all good there.
Super. Well done.
Good pick. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Patrice, what have you got?
I have something that I think was picked last week. And whoever picked it, I'm very, very... Oh, wow. That's a service.
That's my son's girlfriend has brought this.
Nice.
She's great. She should marry him. Totally. Definitely. Just not yet.
Not yet. This was picked last week, I think, and whoever did it, I'm very thankful. It's Clarkson's Farm. It's a really awesome show. And what I really liked about it is, I mean, sure, Clarkson does his usual thing, like the stupid things that he does sometimes. Yeah. But
only the first episode.
there were some really, I mean, one, I really liked all the people involved. And those are real people. Those are not actors or like TV personalities. Like the people he worked with, I mean, including his girlfriend, they were real people. And I mean, there was this one guy, I still don't know what he said. I think it was the dad. I think, yeah, at the end, I was like, maybe it's just me. Like, I mean, being like,
no, I think
being a foreigner or whatever. I'm like, maybe I don't understand him. Nobody did.
No, there is a thing in England, or in England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales as well, of when you find someone who's a grockle, someone who's out of town, mm-hmm. They'll just deliberately go into the worst kind of pidgin English that they can. In the local dialect, just to piss you off, because so you can't understand them. It's not. I think he does that deliberately for the camera, but it's.
No, apparently nobody understood him. So that was. As I said, the characters are really, I mean, really cool people and interesting. And also, I think what was really interesting for me is it showed, to some extent at least, how hard like being a farmer really is. Which is something you rarely ever see.
Farming's like, not easy, but it's even less easy when you're a twat.
Exactly. When you're a twat and you have no idea. Like, absolutely. I think he was only a twat for
the first episode. I think he really grew into it and was trying to be a twat.
I think when he said he was the happiest he's ever been, I think he genuinely meant that.
No, you could see that in his face and how he behaved. He was happy.
Yeah.
And
I think the funniest bit was when he tried to that German tractor, and it was all in German. He was trying
the Lamborghini. No, it was an Italian tractor.
Yeah, it was an Italian tractor from Germany.
Yeah,
from Germany.
It was, he bought it from Germany. All the instructions were in German. Yeah. He was going.
I think that was done for the benefit of the storyline. Yes.
Probably. Yeah.
There's a few things like that in it, but it's good.
Exactly. As I said, you can tell. I really hope they do a second season. It didn't sound like it at the end of the first one, but I think there's more they could tell and more.
So he tweeted out this afternoon. I actually picked up the tweet. I was looking for something else and I found it. And it said, for all of you saying that there's a second series already confirmed, it isn't, but we're hopeful. So
okay, so that is this afternoon. That's very good, because it didn't sound like it at the end. No. Yeah, it did not sound like at the end of the season. It sounded like, okay, this is the end. Like, I've done what I wanted to do, and it's done. And I don't think it is, because I think
there's nothing confirmed, but they're hopeful. That's apparently it's broken a lot of records.
Yeah, so. I can imagine. It is a lot of love, I think, from my perspective, at least, to England, to the people there, to the hard work, and it's entertaining. So it kind of ticks all boxes.
Very good. Ian, what have you got?
I've got the app called Shop. I don't know if anyone's picked this before. Shop.app. It just sits there and it does quite a useful thing. I bought something and it said, I'll download the Shop.app to track your parcels. So I've got one, I'll do that. And the thing I've noticed now is everything I buy from eBay, Amazon, when I get an email into my inbox, it picks the delivery details up, picks the tracking information up, and then gives me alerts when it shows me where the parcel is, how far it's going to be. I bought something from Belfast the other day on eBay, and I could see that it was sent special delivery on the post office. So I saw it being picked up in Belfast, I saw it being dropped off in Belfast, flying into Leeds Bradford Airport. And the next time I looked at the tracking app, it was in the back of a postage van coming around to my house. Fabulous. I mean, that's the fun part, but it does keep a track of all your deliveries.
Yeah,
it's a shop. And nice little freebie, shop.app. It's a great little freebie of.
Yeah, it's actually Shopify. The company behind it
is Shopify. It's Shopify. It's Shopify's app. Shopify, okay.
Which makes sense, because then they can integrate with all the Shopify shops. So
that's probably why I got it, because it was a Shopify. Mm-hmm. It was a Shopify thing I was filling in for the order I'd placed. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But really great app. Recommended.
Shop.app, if you want to go there and get it.
Yeah, Android and Windows. Not Android and Windows. Android and iOS.
Windows would be interesting.
Yeah, and we still have Windows Phone.
Power, what have you got for us?
Okay, so Lego.
That's going to cost people money.
I'm
trying to find something that's going to fill this space, because trying to fill up the space, this wall there and the wall there. And I was just looking around and came across
this
lovely Lego map of the world.
Oh,
it's I think it's £229, 99 pence in the UK. It's sold out in the US, but it's about $249. So you can get it in America, but I think it's sold out in the US.
Nearly 12,000 pieces.
Oh, it's a dot. Really, really good price per brick.
It's like, yeah, because they're little tiny frigging bricks.
It's right. Only yeah, little it's just thousands little of dots. The little single peg discs.
Yeah.
But it's the Makita map, isn't it? It's the one that's disjointed, distorted.
But it still looks
really cool.
Nice to just do it and frame it and put it on the wall.
I want to know why there's a hole in Africa and six holes in Russia.
Probably in China.
Nuclear. Oh,
they didn't give you any spares. 12,000 pieces, not a single spare in there.
Yeah. Oh, that looks epic, doesn't that?
Unless that's a river.
Yeah, a river or something.
Ocean or something that cuts in across, but we can't. I don't know.
Maybe it's a plane that was flying over when they took the picture.
You can zoom in on the picture.
Australia's not big enough. Because it looks like there's a bit missing from Australia, actually.
The other end.
That part fell off. It's under the couch.
I love the colorations of the trench and stuff like that in the ocean. So that's pretty cool.
No, it dropped off the earth.
Oh, and they have loads of these. It's not just, well, there's an Iron Man picture and an Andy Warhol picture and a...
But yeah, they've got tons.
Yeah.
Jeff and I find these all the time.
Someone's going to come round to your house and look at that on the wall and go, oh, that's amazing. How much did you pay for it? I paid with my eyesight.
It's panels like this. So you build each section,
right?
Yeah.
And then they lock together, and then you have the whole finished thing.
Thank God for that. And use glue, mate. Use glue. Don't screw around. Use glue.
I've got an idea. If Jeff ever comes to the bash, we get him and Batwench. We give him an identical kit, and see who can finish first.
I'm totally up for that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's got to be done.
I'm just looking at 66. But I'm just going. You've made me think about going back to look for the 66 Batmobile again as well.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you can get a 1966 Batmobile.
Oh yeah, hold on.
Shut up, right.
Jeff had it as a cool thing a week or two ago. Because I was making all salivating noises then the last time.
Good pick, Howard.
1966 Batmobile. Comes with Batman.
I'm doing my Saturn V. I'm doing my isolation Saturn V. No, don't. I'm not looking.
It's back order.
Check it out. You can do the regular hood.
You
can put little Lego brick shooters on the front and turn it into a battle Batmobile.
Okay. You're there. Look in the chat. You click the link. You know you want.
No. I've got the original Corgi Batman car with Robin and Batman in it, and it still fires the little ting ting ting.
Oh yeah, everyone lost them behind the.
Mine disappeared so long ago.
I've got it.
I'm betting my parents gave it away or decided that I was too old for it and threw it out or something. Breaks my heart.
I had that one, and I had the 007 car, you know, the original one. The DB5. Put the thing up there, ejected the passenger.
Yeah.
And the best one I got, and I've still got it. UFO. What do they call it? The
Angel Inceptor?
No, the Space
99.
Yeah.
It was UFO, the interceptor thing that drove along. And also got the Spectrum one. And I got a couple of those. And
Captain Scarlet.
Yeah. And they're worth a fortune if they're in good condition. Unfortunately,
you need the box. You need the box.
No, you don't always need the boxes. Depends on the toy. Mm.
Right, my cool thing is the Clark IG950B 800-watt inverter generator. Runs on petrol. And do you know why it's my cool thing?
Your van.
Yeah, because I have.
Because you blew the fuse, so now you can use this instead.
I've popped the 3-amp fuse, and I haven't got a 13-amp to stick in it. So the only thing that's keeping this show going tonight is my generator. And can you hear it?
Pardon?
No.
No,
that's impressive.
Hey.
I mean, it's only running a couple of milliamps because it's got two screens and a MacBook Mini M1. But apparently it runs at less than 70 decibels at the low load, which is what it currently is. And it's got an intelligent switch thing. So you put it onto intelligent throttle. And if you plug something in that's a bit beefy, it goes and it gets up to like 80 decibels. But 93, I think, at peak. But I brought it to go out on site. It holds 2.5 litres. It does 5 hours. And I've got a 10-litre jerry can for it, so I can do several days if I'm away, if I need to. It's brilliant. I bought it so that I was going to go down to work this weekend down in London, and I was going to run that, and I was going to stay at the job and just use my computer and all that kind of stuff and wireless internet connection and so on. And I can't go now because I'm in isolation, so I've still got it. So it saved the day tonight. Otherwise, you'd have been on your own. But you wish it had failed, don't you, now?
Hey, Ewan, I dropped an eBay link for the Corgi Batmobile into the chat room. I accidentally dropped it once.
Go away. Not hearing.
Could sell yours, apparently, for a lot of money. This one's up to $775 already.
Jesus, even without a box?
Yeah.
I know exactly where it is. It's in my parents' house in the loft. I'll find it. All right. Don't love it that much. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey? I'll tell you what I do need a link for, if anyone wants to find it, a link for a dirt cheap launch pad for the Lego Saturn V.
Go on AliExpress. There'll be one on there.
Yep. The AliExpress one. That's what you're looking for.
Right. Jeffrey, where can we get a hold of you, please, mate?
Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamet both places. And my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JayGamet. And the big show here on Thursdays, the Mac show on Fridays. Quite often, Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. This is Thursday, so tonight, US time, I will be on In Touch with iOS Live. And and yesterday I did Apple Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. So I get around.
You do, mate. Muller, where can we get hold of you?
Muller Biker on Twitter, on in the Slack room, Instagram, if you want to bother and find me. And I'm going to actually be reporting Jeff, the authorities, taking photographs of ice cream vans with young ladies in front of him. It's very suspicious.
What?
Very suspicious.
You're just jealous because I found an amazing ice cream truck yesterday.
Oh, and the three
everything
girls in front
that
of
they
the
sell
camera?
Is stuff that I can eat. Everything is very free.
Just happened to have three young ladies just helping themselves to ice cream.
Okay. Now, I can't help it. You're a dirty old man.
Moving on. Moving on. I can't find anything that's less than $150, so that's the trouble.
What, ice cream?
No, for this space rocket launch thing. So, Rich, where are you, buddy?
You can find me on at Barking on Twitter, and I think Early Morning Barking on Instagram, but everything on earlymorningbarking.com and the YouTube channel, Early Morning Barking. Have I said Early Morning Barking enough yet?
No. Yeah, that's fine. We got
that's
that.
That's good.
Okay. On 0800 Early Morning Barking. 0800 Early Morning Barking. Patrice, where are you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show, also tomorrow and every week on the Mac Show. Everything I'm doing, you can find on thepatrice.com, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee and stuff like that. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I just released last week an episode with David Ginsberg. Really interesting. If you have never been to Chicago, basically a tour of all the good restaurants around Chicago. So highly recommend that. And the next one will be Kelly Kwan. So you can look forward to that.
Ian, where are you?
I'm here every week. I'm in the Slack room. And that's about it. And you'll find me on LinkedIn somewhere as Ian Grant. You'll find me there doing convolt things as always. That's what I do.
That came across like you'd forgotten who you were, dude. It's
like, I probably have. It's been that kind of week. It's been that kind of week, mate. It's been that kind of week.
I'm still breathing.
I know the answer. Look, it's 42.
Yeah, right. Totally. And Howa, where would you be, Mrs.? Good to have you back.
Thank you. You can find me on Twitter. It's I'm doing an Ian now.
It's not kind of, it's not that bad.
As Howie A, and you can find me in the Slack room as well, and here at the Big Show.
Good. Hope to see you a bit more now. You're back. Manager, you can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We're back again tomorrow with the Mac Show at 4 p.m. and the Big Show again next week on Thursday night. Have a lovely weekend and thanks for listening. And stop before we ruin it.
You know what I do love about the show? Because I'm catching up.
Who's recording? I'm glad, because this is the second time mine didn't actually do a recording when I started.
Patrice, stop recording before we ruin it.
Okay.